The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Well, it's the end of another week of drama in America and Israel's war with Iran. Threats, counter-threats and plenty of missiles have flown in all directions, and there is more to come, apparently, given the threats that Trump has laid down about bombing Iran back to the Stone Age, where he says they belong. Now, to talk about the latest developments, Professor Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University. Paul, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, overnight, we're hearing reports of a strike on the nuclear power plant in Iran, which is escalating because if you go after their power, the Iranians are quite entitled to go after your power or your desalination.
Yes, absolutely true. And as far as we know, the attack on the Bushehr complex hit a subsidiary building. It wasn't aimed at the actual reactor itself, but it sends a very strong message to Iran that as far as the Americans are concerned, as far as Trump is concerned, virtually anything goes. I think there's a more and more frustration developing within the United States, whether it extends as far as Trump, because we simply don't know how much of this information he receives. But what is true is that although there's all kinds of bombing going on, it's not going well for either the United States or for Israel. And to put it bluntly, Iran is surviving much better than expected. No matter how nasty the regime can be and has been, it's actually probably coming out of this the better of the best of the three countries involved, which I think is an extraordinary turnabout. Now we're into what is it? I think next week we start the sixth week of the war. So it's a big surprise.
And when Donald Trump goes on and speaks to the nation and claims that the United States has control of the skies, and then you see one of their most sophisticated jet fighters being taken down by the Iranians, they've lost, I think, a total of six aircraft so far in the conflict, one of them from friendly fire. But it makes those claims a bit hollow.
It does, and that keeps on happening. I mean, we're told that, you know, the United States is way ahead on all of this technically. Well, there are examples where it simply isn't. I mean, for a start, the Iranians still seem able to use quite long-range ballistic missiles, one that could hit Israel. It seems to be manufacturing more of its own drones. And I think the reality is that I think very few people have appreciated, that is that the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps has a history going almost 50 years of preparing for this kind of war. And I think one thing one has to remember, one is always forgotten, is that basically, as soon as you had the Iranian Revolution back in, when was it, 1979, almost immediately the new regime took power, the whole of the country was attacked by Saddam Hussein's Iraq, who thought they would be an easy target because of all the problems they faced. And the end result was an eight-year desperate war with hundreds of thousands of people killed. And eventually, when a deal was finally done to get a ceasefire, it was more or less level pegging, and if anything, it was the Iranians who were gaining. But that, I think, has really sealed into the Revolutionary Guard's psyche almost, that you can do it. And they've been preparing ever since for another attack, and now they have it, and they're doing, I'm afraid, a lot better than people expected, which means the war will go on. When you have a character like Trump in the White House, we simply don't know how he will act. And we're getting all this business about bombing the country into the Stone Age at present.
And obviously the way to do that is to use nuclear weapons, but I'm not sure that even Trump would go so far.
I don't think he would. And the curious thing about Trump, I mean, of all the things about him, he seems to have some recognition of how dangerous nuclear weapons are. It's almost the only thing. It doesn't explain why he got out of the deal, which was to some extent keeping Iran in check on its nuclear program. But Trump seems to have at least a recognition of just how dangerous that would be. And that may be a saving grace. But meanwhile, of course,
the explanation for getting out of the deal was simply it was Obama's deal, and therefore,
well,
he didn't want
any
truck with it.
Well, it could well be. I mean, this is the character of the guy. And in some ways, that at least is a recognition that there may be a way in which he will be held back on this. But meanwhile, I mean, the rate of bombing is increasing. There's a problem here, I think, which is just beginning to emerge, actually, for the UK, in that it appears that this mass bombing, strategic bombing, requires very large planes, very heavily laden, and the main one is the Lancer, the B-1B, and almost all of the available Lancers that the US Air Force has at present are actually now forward-based in RAF Fairford in Gloucestershire, in Britain. So, in fact, the British government, whether it likes it or not, is actually central to the new phase of the war. That is only just emerging as a political issue in Britain, but give it a few days, I think it probably will more. And it'd be interesting to see, in fact, whether the US Air Force has been using Shannon as a route through to this side of the Atlantic as well.
Now, the question of the ceasefire that the Americans kind of offered, it's hard to know what's true and what's not. A 48-hour ceasefire, one suspects that is to help them find the missing airman, and the Iranians have said no. And then Trump, even though they have a jet fighter shot down, he said that is not going to interfere with the progress of the negotiations. What do you make of that?
It's all over. I mean, I defy anybody to make very much sense out of it. I mean, this is the problem with Trump. You know, you see, he says one thing one day, another thing just a few hours later. And you have to just sort of try and chart a course. What I think has become clear is that Trump and Trump's people immediately around him have become more and more adept at making sure the only people who are associated in this thing at a senior level are people who are absolutely loyal to Trump. It's notable that, you know, Hegseth over at the Pentagon sacked three more really senior army people yesterday. This is in addition to others in recent months. So he's basically getting rid of the chief of staff. He's getting rid of the head of all army training. And perhaps significantly, he's getting rid of the current head of the chaplaincy. And I think this is significant because, you know, sometimes chaplains do stick out when they think that things are really being done, which are unethical. So I think essentially because you have Trump surrounded by what some people call crudely just a large gang of sycophants, it just doesn't help matters because simply he is not actually getting the truth to him. And I think that makes matters worse, particularly for somebody like Trump, who believes so much in his own competence and his own capability.
Now, the question of the sacking of the chief of staff of the army, this is a guy called General Randy George. You wonder whether or not he was saying no way to boots on the ground or troops on the ground. And Hegseth thinks otherwise. Would that be a reason that he was trying to stay Hegseth's hand?
I think quite possibly. I mean, you don't know, but he had another year or more to run of his term. And the overall sort of chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, McCain, I think his name is, but he also has been a little bit cautious at times. He's still in power. And if he was to actually be, I think the quiet word is, encouraged to retire early, then that would be a really big sign. So far, he is still there. And I think he probably is, in a very careful way, doing a little bit of truth, speaking truth to power. You can't be sure about that, but there were signs of that earlier on in the way that he was making rather more cautionary statements. That is also true to some extent of the Secretary of State, Rubio. And of course, the most interesting thing is the way that the Vice President, J.D. Vance, is actually staying very quiet at present, saying very little. And by a sort of a murder, it's almost as though he's really being cautious about what Trump is doing, because I think he may well be beginning to wonder whether Trump will last.
Now, one of the pilots was rescued, who ejected from the jet fighter. The other is at large somewhere in Iran, or perhaps dead. We don't know what the circumstances of him touching down were. The Iranians have offered a big reward of $50,000 to anyone who finds him, captures or kills him. So there's a bit of a race on to find this individual.
Yes, that's an extraordinary thing. You know, one hopes for the sake of humanity that he is found, and he is found by somebody who will make him safe. I mean, that's true of anybody in any circumstance. But it is a problem. And of course, if the Iranians were to actually be able to take him into custody of any sort, and no matter how they treated him, and if they treat him pretty well, that's all right. The history of this is extraordinary because so much of the bad relations between the United States and Iran go right back to the revolutionary time, and all those American hostages, mostly diplomats, but also some family members, who were held hostage for, what was it, 444 days. A move which in some ways meant that there was very little chance that Jimmy Carter would get re-elected, and in fact Ronald Reagan came in instead. So the long memories there, and I think there's an added reason why in the United States, more than most countries, the idea of hostage taking is hugely significant.
It's interesting, though, when you hark back to that hostage release by the Iranians in time for the inauguration of Ronald Reagan, to the embarrassment of Jimmy Carter, that Ronald Reagan himself then encouraged Jimmy Carter, and he took up the offer to go and meet those hostages. I think it was in Berlin where they touched down. That it was an act of generosity on Reagan's part.
It was, yes, yes. He did have that part of his character, didn't he? There's other examples of that. But certainly, as far as Reagan was concerned, I think he himself thought that he deserved to win anyway. But the reality was it had a huge influence on things.
Now, the question of the Strait of Hormuz and how the Iranians are controlling this, a French tanker got through, three Omani tankers were allowed through. This is being allowed through. So obviously the Iranians are playing this quite cleverly in a way. If you're not hostile to us, we can help you. We can make sure you get your oil.
Well, that seems to be happening. And I mean, the full details aren't known yet, but what has clearly been happening is that China and India, I believe they've both had tankers going through, and it's been made clear behind the scenes that they are not a part of this. And what the Iranians are doing, it's extraordinary, is they're gaining in two ways at present. Their own oil gets out. And of course, that is oil which is fetching a lot more on the world markets than it would have been even 4 weeks ago. So as far as that is concerned, in sheer economic terms, the war is quite good for them. Now, that in no way is ignoring the fact that what they've suffered in terms of people killed and huge damage done is massive. But it is also something which actually helps them. And now they seem to be playing the whole Strait affair very, very cleverly in terms of diplomacy and working with different countries in different ways. Because I think there's also this assumption in the Trump administration that since, to put it crudely, the United States is the world's leading country, therefore nobody else is really going to do anything about that. And that simply isn't the case. You're dealing with the likes of India and China, Indonesia and many others. Now, of course, I'm not in any way speaking for Americans as a whole, because Trump's own domestic popularity is ebbing away. But the point is here that, you know, it's a complex business with many countries involved. And in fact, Trump, as the United States leader, does not have the global support that he still seems to think that he has automatically. And if anything, I think people are gravitating more to China. And you're seeing also the way in which, if there's to be any negotiation with Iran, it is likely to be this new group, which involves, Turkey, Pakistan, Egypt, and I think there's at least one other, a quartet of states, which may actually all be reasonable allies of the United States, but seeing the world in a different way from within their own region. And here again, it's a complexity, which means, in a sense, U.S. influence in the region is probably now in decline, which is not good for the United States, obviously.
Paul, thank you very much for joining us. That's Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.